conjunction of the 21-22 school check years are on the Classroom ISD website now. And you can access those agendas, minutes, and recordings at your convenience. Today we are going to welcome Hope Campbell as our speaker, as we're needing to discuss some items regarding school House Bill 9 as it relates to prevention of child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and human trafficking in the Kauffman community.
Well, thank you all for being here. I know this was kind of a quick meeting, a little bit earlier than we usually get started, but it was something we needed to do kind of to bring things up to speed, or we just wanted to make sure that we were all kind of on the same page moving forward into this school year. So I will kind of get started, and we will talk through the slides as we go. Some of this will be familiar to you. This is kind of similar to some of the things we discussed in the spring with the health, adopting the health textbook and kind of reviewing the human sexuality piece. I know Amy Keith kind of did a presentation and talked a little bit about how Senate Bill 9 affects that, and this kind of mirrors that a little bit. So these are two education codes that have been in place for a while, and it just talks about in a district we need to implement and have a child abuse program that also over the years has evolved to include a sex trafficking prevention program, and then under the violence piece, of course, to make an awareness and try to create some prevention to avoid family violence as well as dating violence. So those have been going on for a while. So that was, I think, kind of some of the confusion that we've talked about. Senate bill is a pretty lengthy bill. It was about 5 pages of legislation, single space, that I have not enjoyed trying to come over and understand. But these are some of the things that it does say. The local SHAC will recommend appropriate grade levels and curriculum for instruction regarding child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and sex trafficking, including warning signs that a child may be at risk for sex trafficking, provided that local school health advisory council's recommendations under this subdivision do not conflict with the essential knowledge and skills. So we want to recommend things that are in line with the TEKS and that we feel that are good for our kids and trying to prevent these situations from happening. So some other of the key points, again, related to what we talked about before with the health piece, when we choose these materials, they need to be where they can be viewed by the parents. If they can't see them online or view them anything, if it's copyrighted, they can come to the campus and see what we're going to be using in the classrooms with their kids for instruction or however we're relaying this information. Parents and guardians will receive a notification before this happens, so there will be an information letter sent out to parents explaining what's going to be talked about. And then, again, the big piece of change with this legislation is that parents have to give consent for their children to be exposed to this information. So that piece is new. It used to be that they could opt out, so we let the parents know when these things were happening or going on at the schools, but then parents would let us know if they did not want their parent, student to be involved with that program or assembly or PowerPoint presentation, speaker, classroom guidance, whatever it was, they could say, I don't want my kid in there. Now a big piece of change is that they have to let us know, yes, I want my kid participating in this presentation or explanation. So again, to me, that's kind of what made it confusing, because I'm like, well, when you talk about child abuse prevention and dating violence and trafficking, those kinds of things, to me, that kind of gets real big, because a lot of prevention pieces are about teaching students to make healthy choices and be in healthy relationships and make good decisions and learning how to advocate for themselves. So a lot of those things it doesn't really stand alone, but of course we do talk about those specific topics because unfortunately they do go on, and we want our kids to be aware and not get caught up in that. So revolving around just these 4 specific topics, we are going to go ahead, and we're not changing the plan if we approve this. We are keeping the materials that we've had because, like I said, this has been going on for a while. We've been doing this for several years in our schools. But we wanted to be compliant, of course, with the new legislation that y'all are aware of what we're using in the schools, and that you approve that. And if you had any questions, anything that we want to talk about, we're certainly here to do that today. And again, as we move forward, if we see that there may be better resources that are developed, or we find, you know, something that we think might work better, or a situation arises maybe in our area or community that we might feel may be better suited for Kaufman School District, then we can certainly review those materials and change moving forward. But with these resources that we've been using, they're things that have been in our district for a while. So we're going to review those and let y'all know what we have, and then decide if we want to recommend to keep with what we've got and move forward. Elementary instruction, this will be at grades K through 5, and again, this usually revolves around child abuse and teaching kids to be aware of this and what to do if they're in this situation, or maybe if they know a friend that's in the situation. The WHO program is probably pretty familiar to some of you, or maybe you've heard about it. It was developed quite a while ago by Mental Health America of Greater Dallas, designed to prevent the likelihood of child victimization by building children's ability to analyze strange or dangerous situations. And there's different types of curriculum that we use or are available to us that we use to just talk to these students about a sensitive, non-threatening content to address this content in a good way. And I've got Ms. White here, who's our counselor at Monday Primary, and she's been doing this and very familiar with the program, more so than myself, because I was secondary. So she's going to talk to you just a little bit about the WHO program.
So with the WHO program, I've been actually teaching that for about 15 years over at Monday Elementary, and even when it was Monday Primary. For second grade and under, second grade and pre-K, they actually use puppets, and it's kind of a quiz show with a video, and the puppets ask each other questions about what do you do in this situation, and then you let the kids kind of participate back to get the answers to what they do. And we do focus on those three messages of basically say no, walk away or get away, and then tell them that you trust. We really focus a lot on who are all the adults in your life you trust. We focus on, you know, it can be people from home or school, and there should be no secrets from each other. Like, let's share everything that's going on so that we can all help you as a team, and we're all here to help you. And it's very basic information, but it gets the point across that we're here together to help them stay safe. And then for third through fifth grade is also just a video kind of based program where you have situations with the peers their age kind of coming across different instances where they might feel a little odd about it, or it just doesn't settle right. Like, there's this one where a neighbor of a school, an older man, invites some boys over to come swim, and the boys are discussing how, oh, I don't really think this is right, or oh, it sounds fun, what should we do? And then it's like, well, what do you do in this situation? Well, you need to ask parents before you go somewhere, you know, kind of thing. And so that's basically what it focuses on, and just who to tell and how to get help if something feels weird or not right. Basically,
yeah. Okay. So that's what we do for the younger students. With secondary instruction, the curriculum that we have is Base Education, and it is an online platform that was developed by mental health specialists and educators to deliver prevention as well as intervention. It allows students to acquire knowledge of each subject area through age-appropriate materials, and by using journalistic inspection, fire words, and progress monitoring, the students learn the content and skills needed for these difficult situations. So what it means, and I'm going to show you kind of a video here in a minute, but is what happens is when the students log into this program or whichever course they're doing, it kind of gets them, kind of gets it started and talks about what the topic is, but then it'll also ask them questions. And so it kind of gives them some prompts. You know, do you have someone in your life that you feel you can trust, or have you ever been in a situation and felt uncomfortable? Some of them, like a lot when it talks about healthy relationships, it kind of asks on a scale from 1 to 10, you know, how do you feel about your relationship? You know, do you feel open talking to your parents? Do you have someone in your life you feel comfortable trusting? So I feel it's really good because it does kind of prompt, so there is some interaction. It's not like the kid can hit play and, you know, walk off or leave the room and it's still going to be going. It does, you know, require their attention and interaction to keep going through the video and actually complete the process and complete the module. It also allows by the journalistic responses, those will trigger if there's any fire words. So
if a student does feel, you know, sometimes they may not want to reach out for help, or they maybe haven't thought about it, or just haven't found the right person or the time, if they respond in any way that is concerning in the video, then it's going to trigger an alert to their school counselor. And so that is another way for us to kind of watch for students that might be needing or something, and maybe they don't know it, or they're not sure where to go to or how to help. So that's another reason why we feel it's a good system to use, because it does allow them to hopefully be pretty open and kind of get some thoughts out. And again, if we know, if any of us have ever been through any difficult times, one of the things you might have done is journaling. It is something that is given a lot of times as a kind of a coping skill to write and get things out. So hopefully there's some things that we're implementing that will be good, that will always serve them, but it's also a way for us to kind of get this conversation going with all of the students, as well as monitor it while hopefully teaching them some good tools. So with grades 6 through 8, our focus will mainly be on healthy relationships. I think that's, obviously all the way through, but I feel that's a good one. 6th, 7th, and 8th grade is a tough time for a lot of kids, and there's a lot changing, a lot going on. Peer groups change, interest of boys and girls, if it hadn't already, that's probably coming. So there's just a lot going on. So we felt that was a good one that would be kind of focusing around that, hopefully getting a strong anchor there, as well as kind of some introduction to dating violence and just kind of what is a healthy relationship. If you're in it with, you know, a boyfriend or girlfriend, what is okay and what's not okay, and what should you maybe kind of be cautious about? So we felt like that was a good thing, as well as learning how to say no things. That can help, of course, in a lot of ways, but hopefully, again, we're instilling, you know, you need to speak up. If something doesn't feel right, it's probably not right. So it kind of walks them through some things there. And this will kind of be similar, obviously, with the elementaries. We do classroom guidance. She spoke about that. And it would be the same with junior high and high school. There will be certain designated days that we're either going to, you know, talk about healthy relationships, or they're going to watch the video and do the module for learning how to say no thanks, and that's going to be implemented in the classroom. I know high school is planning to do it during third period with whatever resources we recommend, and junior high will kind of do it in the same manner. It just may be a different class period. And then with grades 9 through 12, they will do different modules. They're going to do the healthy relationships again. Has a lot of good information in it, as well as learned helplessness and avoiding exploitation. And that centers a little bit more heavily, or kind of goes a little bit deeper about, you know, again, unhealthy relationships, what's okay, what's not okay, what to do if you're in this relationship, you know, what's a hotline number to call, who's someone that can reach out and help. If you know a friend that's in this situation, what's a way to report it? So it kind of just goes a little bit deeper, a little bit more directly toward a little bit of the violence piece or the trafficking, and kind of how something might look real appealing, you know, if you feel lonely, or if you're uncomfortable, if you've been kicked out of your house, or whatever, something might feel good in the beginning, and after you get involved, you're like, oh, this is not what I thought it was going to be. So it kind of goes a little bit deeper on the avoiding exploitation that discusses the information. So those, again, the base education as well as the new program, those have been in our district for a while. They're a part of our district the improvement plan. They're noted on there just as ways to educate, you know, students, and just kind of hopefully give them a sense of empowerment of, you know, trust yourself and what's okay and not okay. But you also have a lot of, you know, you have some choices to make here, and you are responsible for you, and those kinds of things. So moving forward, as a SHAC, like I said, we can continue to watch for different programs, and that was another thing that I think is overwhelming. As I was calling around to other districts, they were kind of like, we're not sure, what are you doing? We're not sure, what are you doing? And, you know, we've been doing this, but should we change or not? Other districts, one really large district, I know the counseling, director of counseling there, and I talked to her, and they're kind of not changing and not really going for their SHAC, because again, programs they've been using, they've used forever. And so as they change resources, of course they know they need to go with their SHAC and have it recommended. But we just wanted to stick to the plan and make sure that the SHAC was aware of resources that we have, and for y'all to be on board with what we're using, and as well as recommend that to the board, and just everything be on the up and up and be aware of what's going on. So that's what the next steps would be. With Senate Bill 9, it points out that after we review the resources and look at them, we make a recommendation to the school board, then they would vote on it, and then at that point, you know, things would be implemented in the school. I was going to have another slide. So And again, consent forms will be sent out. It has to be signed at least 14 days prior to instruction. They might give it a little more time in case parents want to review materials or have a meeting with a counselor at the school just to kind of ask some questions and look at it. But information will be sent out to them so they can review. And students, that, again, the parents aren't pleased with something that we're doing or for whatever reason they don't want their children to be a part of that, then they, of course, would say, I don't give consent for my child. And then we would make arrangements for that student to be doing something else during the time, you know, that the other class or the rest of the students are participating in the program. And so I'm going to show, I do have some copies. Obviously, this stuff is copyrighted, so I couldn't just give everybody a copy of what we're using or send it out. But I do have copies up here of the different four modules. So if any of you want to stay and kind of look at them, of course, you can't take them. But if you want to look at those and read through them, they are here. They're pretty lengthy, but you're welcome to look at them or ask questions if you have questions after this, because I know that we do have another speaker. But I was going to start, I was going to show all the video, but again, it has the prompts and you have to journal. And so, although it's a 20-minute video, it kind of takes a little bit longer and then I would have to put in responses, but I will kind of give you a taste of what they will see. I'm not sure which one I have pulled up here. So, you know, they'll have a login, but in this, they don't have to listen to the sound, but I'm going to turn it on because it's not great reading, but you'll see you can change the language. So if they want to change it to Spanish, they can change it to Spanish if they prefer that. And there's 9 different languages, so even if someone speaks another language, most likely it's on there. But if not, they can see, they can let us know and see what we can do about getting that fixed for them. You know, they can stop and take a break and come back to it. But there is a way for it to read to them if they want it to.
I think just read themselves.
And so they will
control. As you
experience
things in your life, you share them with your friends. As you seek out support and advice, you go to your friends. As you shape your identity, you look to your friends. When you are a teen, so much of your existence is about your social life. Given that this is such a big part of your life, it is important to know what healthy relationships look like, how to help your friendships be safe relationships for you, how to communicate with your friends no matter what, how to identify the right people to bring into your life. Please describe the closest friendships in your life.
So those are kinds of things. That's kind of how the program's going to work. So it will stop and prompt them as it goes. It will kind of, similar to the program that they use in the elementaries, it will kind of be a certain situational. You know, maybe you don't feel accepted or you want to be a part of a certain crowd and you're not a part of that crowd. Well, this other crowd invites you maybe to, you know, skip school for the day and let's go hang out, you know, at Waterbury, you know, whatever, and you do that, and then you end up getting in trouble for missing school, and your parents find out, and you get in trouble. So it kind of will give situations like that will walk them through that as it goes. But again, also about this program, there is, for all the modules that we're requiring the students to do, if they consent, there is a parent module. So that's another piece that we really like about this. The parents can request, kind of like you do in Skyward, if you want family access to look at your kids' grades and attendance. There is a parent module, and so student parents can request to have this account set up, and there is a parent module, and it very, very closely mirrors exactly what the kids are going to see, but it also is kind of reframed from the parent perspective, and so it'll kind of ask how you view your teen. Do you view your teen as kind of, you know, feeling like, you know, they're a little bit left out, and so they might be more maybe, you know, suspect to kind of get maybe with the wrong crowd, or they feel they need to belong more than others. So it kind of prompts things from a parent perspective, but it's very, very closely related to the questions that are going to be asked of the kid. So there is a parent module for all of the ones that we use, and they can access that at any time because it's all a web-based program, so they can access it at their convenience. If they want to see exactly verbatim, word for word, what the student will be seeing, then we can make that happen too. We would just assign them the student module. So that would be available for them as well. And again, they're pretty close. There's only a difference of like a few slides. And again, the questions are kind of geared toward asking the parent the question as it relates to their teen versus a kid, you know, about themselves. But they're pretty closely the same video. So that is available, which I thought was very good because parents can see everything that their kids will be exposed to as far as these modules.
Terry with Aetna Better Health, STAR Kids, Disabled and Special Needs Kids. Thank you guys, and thank you. Sandwiches were good. What is the reading level of the material?
For the secondary, they are all on a sixth grade reading level. So it should be pretty simple. And again, it will read to them. They don't have to, you know, because sometimes that bothers you. They don't want it read to them. They want to read it themselves. So they don't have to turn on the speaker and the microphone like I did. They can just read it. But it is on a sixth grade reading level. And they can't have it read to them, though, even if they want to have that done as well.
And another question, without obviously going through the whole thing and just speaking of myself growing up and thinking, wow, that would have been nice to kind of have at school. And, you know, I grew up in a Latin culture, so the cultural competency to child abuse, you know, they were the chanclas, you know, the shoes throwing at you, you know, they're so in our culture, child abuse, and it was looked as, well, that was just discipline.
Right.
So how does that do anything in regards to knowing the cultural differences in how kids are disciplined? So it's not just like your overall this, and then does it cover the language, not just the mental health, physical abuse, but people, you're nothing, you're, you know, the verbal part of the abuse, does it cover that as
yes,
well?
Yes, it does. It's very good about on that question, it's really good about kind of setting up the situation and kind of, I think, starts out with wanting the kid to think about, well, what about this? Or have you ever thought about that? Or have you ever been in this situation? Has a friend ever really hurt you? Have you ever felt betrayed by, you know, a friend? So it kind of sets up the, you know, if you will, kind of sets up the what's coming in the beginning of the video. And then it also usually all the videos will end with, well, if this is where you are, you know, here are some suggestions of how to get out of that, or here are some tools to use. So it does very much about you are worthy, you know, and it, there's and as well as these that we're requiring, there are lots of other modules, and I know there is one over different cultures. We're not requiring that, of course, for everybody. And again, I think that they're probably pretty, it doesn't go a lot into the different cultures, specifically on the ones we're doing, because everybody watching it's coming from a different background, you know, so they do keep it pretty streamlined as far as just kind of, you know, this is what a healthy relationship looks like. This is, you know, how trafficking can start. You know, they kind of make it sound good and they're going to be everything you're looking for. But then once they kind of get you, you know, invested in that relationship, then it's like, hey, go do this for me. Or if you want this, you know, if you want to keep, you know, being my girlfriend, then you're going to go and do this. So it kind of evolves throughout the video. And then it talks about, you know, warning signs and suggestions of how to get out of the situation and tools to use. And so that kind of develops throughout the video. And at the end of every slide, and again, these are, you are welcome to see these. And I think also give you another handout over the secondary on the on your tables. And I kind of gave a short, there's a short summary that kind of gives an overarching explanation of each of those videos and kind of some key vocabulary terms and kind of what the main goals are for those different modules that they're doing. But if other situations arise, then there's lots of modules in here. They probably have over, I think there's, I should know this. You know, out there, I mean, there's probably over 200 different modules. And they have them for vaping. They do have them for different cultures. They have them for, you know, we use some with our drug prevention. They have them for behavior. They have them for, you know, feeling, you know, low self-esteem or suicide. There's all kinds of different ones. So as we see needs individually, you know, surface with different kids, we also have access to a lot of other modules that we can use that are kind of in the same format.
Do
you
also
yeah.
teach cyberbullying?
Yes. Great. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
There is. And there's also there's one on divorce that we've used quite a bit with younger kids. They're just kind of in that situation and having some trouble. And there's so I know there's one for that and things like that. So it can definitely be used in a much broader sense with specific needs. These were just kind of the ones that we felt would be certainly applicable to everybody and useful for everybody. That's those resources that have been in place with us for a while. And again, that's what we feel is pretty positive in servicing a lot of areas as far as the trafficking, dating violence.
I'd like to make a proposal. We just stick with our current curriculum until something updated comes out. then we can re-examine that at a later time.
I make a motion.
Great. Thank you. And again, I know lots of y'all have different areas of background and different resources, and things will come along. So that is part of why you're here. And we are always open because we want to do what's the most effective. I know some schools do assemblies, some have speakers, some, you know, implement it through different courses if they know all the kids are taking those courses. So there are some different options. I know that districts do different ways. So we're always open, and that is something we are always open to listen to as we move forward. But for now, we will save these resources and we will propose that to the board and go from there. So thank y'all very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Which is just wonderful for Kaufman and our parents and our students that Kaufman's been looking at these issues for a long time, way before they ever became popularized in the media. We have been dealing with these issues and followed kids, you know, probably their whole 12 years of school. Also, I wanted to mention and remind you that every employee in Kaufman ISD is trained on what to do with child abuse outcries, the signs and symptoms of all kinds of child abuse, and what to do. We have many resources available to them if they ever have a student that's in need. Okay, so let's move on to our next speaker, which is Emma Lattimore with the Texas Department of Health and Human Services. And she's going to just speak a little bit about suicide prevention in Texas. More and more, we're going to be hearing about different programs, resources available to school districts to combat suicide prevention. Welcome, Emma.
Hi, everyone. Excuse me, I'll just come up here so I can see everyone. My name is Emma Lattimore. I'm a little nervous, so I have a little sheet in front of me. I'm a program specialist with the Texas Department of State Health Services out of Arlington. I'm part of a youth-based behavioral health team focused on suicide prevention in rural school districts. We're kind of a baby team. My supervisor was hired in February, I was hired in May, and we have been working diligently to prepare for this school year because we know it's going to be a crazy one coming back from COVID-19. I'm here today to get to know all of you and learn about your needs, wants, and hopes for suicide prevention in your school district. We can be of service in many ways, such as collaborating on developing a comprehensive suicide prevention policy. We can help you select a student suicide prevention program. We are also reaching out to local mental health authorities to learn more about their services and how we can connect them with y'all. I'm still trying to get in contact with someone that's the North Texas Behavioral Health Authority. I will speak to you all in a little bit. Overall, our goal is to be a resource for the school districts in our assigned counties. Today, I look forward to talking with all of you and answering any questions you may have about our program and how we may assist you. Just a little bit more about our team. We service 37 rural counties, which include 153 rural independent school districts. Basically those that don't have a health department. We aim to be a resource for y'all regarding behavioral health. We can link you to your local mental health authority, provide faculty training recommendations, provide student suicide prevention training recommendations, provide guidance on writing suicide prevention policies, provide resources for students, parents, and staff, provide recommendations for school clubs that help build peer support groups. And we can also provide introductions to other state programs in your area that your school may benefit from. We're actually helping another school district set up their shack because they had some turnover. And then with COVID, everything kind of fell apart. And now we're actually going to be helping them build their shack. So if we can be of any additional help to your school, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. And we will do our best to address that need. There has been, unfortunately, an upward trend in suicides, especially in Texas. Not a good thing. And we exist to really just to serve. We want to provide whatever resources we can We're doing policy scans. We're looking at the policies that school districts already have in place for suicide prevention. I know for Kaufman, I know there is a teacher training. I'm not 100% sure if y'all have a student training yet. I couldn't find one on the ISD website. I did learn about the BASE program in y'all's district improvement plan, which is very promising and has a lot. I am here to connect with all of you, like I said, and whatever you all need, and to be that resource for you all.
Thank you. Thanks, Gemma. So, you know, something that we've done with Kaufman ISD is we really have, and those of us in the hospital setting years ago, we have continuity of care. And Emma, I'm so glad that our North Texas Behavioral Health Authority reps are here. Our Hazel Health reps will be here at our next meeting. Because like I said, we've been dealing and talking and examining the mental health component of our district for many, many years. And a lot of changes have come about because of media attention. Lack of a better word, just to instances that are happening. And you hear more about it because of the media that we have now. So, wonderful news, and we're going to be gathering some data for our next meeting from Hazel Health, which I just wanted to touch on our next topic, which is a little bit of a Hazel Health update. We talked about it at our last meeting in May. But we did go ahead and purchase Hazel Heart Health for our district, which is a mental health component of the telehealth program. And it is available to parents, of course, at no cost still to families. All three of our programs, Hazel at School, Hazel at Home, and Hazel Heart, are at no cost to families. It's available for the mental component Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. for free. It's confidential virtual visits. We are also started the beginning of this school year implementing that physically on every campus. It's with their expert therapist, and it deals from everything mental health, stress, bullying, relationship issues, anxiety, depression, grief, trauma, and more. We will provide case management to these families, which is why we love our community relationships, because we need to provide that therapy and then get them help within the community. So we're going to stay in contact. It's a long-term relationship with these students, families, and our counselors that initiate those visits. So, you know, basically, it's nothing we're talking about that has to do with the mental subject is short-term. Everything that we're doing as a SHAC and as a district is for long-term support for our students. Because if we recognize something in first grade, is it going to go away in second grade? No, we're going to be having continuity with the families and the students to make sure all their health care needs are met. And when we get some more substantial data from the first of the school year, then we'll go over that with Hazel Park and with you guys our next meeting, or maybe the one after that. Any questions up to this point?
I don't have a question or something, but I do have just something to put kind of
yes.
in the back of your mind. So one of the things that we are doing at NIPA is we're starting a loss team, or we're kind of in that beginning process of a loss team. So loss team is basically it's a team that goes out when there's been a suicide in the community or in the schools, and we provide just that hands-on, instant, you know, to people and support. So there's a group of us that have already gone through Lost Teen training, and now what we are doing is, matter of fact, I got the email yesterday, because I'm on our suicide prevention group. But what we want to do is we want to get some information from the schools on how, like, what you do. So if you have a suicide here at the school, what is your process, mm-hmm. and how can we be part of that? So, you know, we've learned, whether, you know, from Santa Fe and now, of course, from Uvalde, that it's incredibly important for the local mental health authorities to have relationships with the schools. And we're fortunate here because we are, you know, we have a relationship with you. But, I mean, we have six counties that we serve, and it's hard to do that, have that really great relationship in every county, so, or in every school district. So what we want to do is figure out how we can best support, because we don't want to come, and, you know, if we have an unfortunate event occur, we don't want to come to the school and say, how can we help, and y'all go, who the heck are you?
Right.
Which is what's happened. I mean, it happened. One of my great friends that does what I do, down in Uvalde, you know, she had the relationship, but and she was led in the school, but some of the administrators from the local mental health that came in, and they were like, we don't know who you are. And she got in trouble for being let in, and they didn't. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're kind of building that foundation now, for later. So I'd like to, you know, get, whether it's Campbell, whoever, just to kind of start understanding maybe some of the things that y'all are doing. And if you have a plan, if you don't have a plan, then, I mean, obviously it's something that we all have to think about, because we know that, the suicides are increasing, so we've got to be prepared for that.
And we are very, very proactive here. I mean, like I said, we are anticipatory, unfortunately. And do we like that? No, but we are proactive. Because it's probably, I mean, we have been affected by it, but it's just a matter of time. Coffee is growing leaps and bounds. So... we can definitely set up a subcommittee and address other ways. We are open to anything, to be proactive, like we said, and meet the needs of our students, families, and our employees. And one other thing I forgot to tell you was that we are now offering free telehealth to our employees. So would love to discuss that.
That is something that I was going to kind of mention. Suicide prevention doesn't fall under this part with Senate Bill 9, but again, I'm fairly new to the job. I just finished my first year, and so this is only a slice of what I do, but I do know, luckily, Carol was a big help with us last year, and I know you have been as well, too, with a lot of your trainings that we've done. So that was kind of on my big scheme of things, and we definitely want to regret. And we have a lot of new administrators, you know, some new administrators of the district too, but I, again, we don't want to go back, but as a high school counselor, we unfortunately dealt with this several times while I was a counselor there, and it is something we hope we never, ever, ever have to deal with again, but you want to be prepared. That is the biggest thing too. And again, how you handle it at a high school, I think, is different than how you handle it with an elementary campus, so... I do think that's very important, and again, with me being new, it's just kind of a good time to revisit those things. So I will definitely look forward to meeting with you and getting some things in line, because it's very important.
Yeah, and Kaufman ISD's been working with NIPTA for probably 8 years, mm-hmm. 8 or 9 years. Yes, Carol.
Yeah, and just to add to what Dr. Campbell mentioned, is that our relationship here with Kaufman ISD has allowed schools to refer individuals that have suicidal ideations. And so parents have reached out, and we have serviced those particular families and their children with services that can address their suicidal ideations before it escalates to playing in the news.
Yes, and you know, just from a nursing health perspective, practically everything that deals with mental health manifests itself in physical health. And we need to be very attuned to what's happening. And I think, you know, you've got to look at that whole child.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got to be looking at their spirit. Because a broken spirit can be broken physical health. And I'm very, very proud of what we do. And am I sad a little bit that we've got to do it? Yes, but this is reality now. This is reality for those of us that attend school in public school district across Texas and across the United States and across the world. So kudos to Kaufman.
Yeah.
For
and our
being so attuned to that. And yes, let's work that into the agenda to discuss, and maybe even try to have a little sub meeting prior to that. Any questions at this point? Okay. Before we adjourn, I wanted to, okay, Katie Sotzing at the last second couldn't be here, so she wants Coach Negri to speak a little bit about Walk Across Texas, our relationship we've established with Texas A&M for years. If you could just synopsis and then give us an idea how we want to move forward for the fall.
Okay. So I'm the PE coach at Mundy Elementary. Did not know I was going to speak, so. but we have been Walk Across Texas for 4 or 5 years. We've done it for several years. The kids really like it. It's kind of a competition. You're trying to, so the goal is to walk 832 miles, which is the distance across the widest part of Texas. That's why it's called Walk Across Texas. So in the gym, we run laps and we do, they get to count laps that they do at recess. They all know how many laps it takes to make a quarter mile or a half mile around every playground. And so they're trying to accumulate miles. And the goal is to get their families involved. So the more people that do the mile with you, the more miles you're going to get. So if everyone in your family does the mile, you get 5 instead of 1. It's really to get families involved in healthy physical activity, getting them moving outside. The first year we did it, it was new to us, it was a little hard, but every year we have a few more families that participate, and the kids come in with, you know, 10, 15 miles because the whole family went to Six Flags and walked around for 2 hours. And it's a good program. So we start with a lap or 2 laps around our campus, which ends up being a half a mile to a mile. And then at the end of the program, we haven't really decided yet what we're going to do for the finale, but we have, you know, the class with the most miles wins and gets a little prize. I think last year it was playground equipment that they could use. That's just...
So as a school, you do a kickoff event,
right,
school-wide.
So all the classes and all the teachers and staff, we walk 2 laps around our campus, which the kids love because they're outside. And they're in the street, which is just amazing.
Everybody participates in that. Actually shut down a perimeter around our campus.
We have a lot of very nice police officers and the constable and ISD officers come out and block the street so that we don't have to worry about cars. And people come out of their houses and wave at them. And, but the kids enjoy it. And it's just one more way to get kids moving and not sitting down. So it's a good program. And I think last year, we've had other campuses participate, not every single year, but it's a good program.
Well, you can share with the other campuses, and hopefully everyone, we'd love to see every school, at least at elementary and kinder level, be participating in that. Because what is one of the things? We want to promote lifelong healthy habits, and this is, if we don't do it at this age level, it's harder when they get older. And the parents, they do love it. And gotten 1 year we were the highest miles school in Texas.
We usually get like 2,000 or more miles, mm-hmm. just because we do so many laps and the kids, we have several kids that are very competitive, so they want to turn in more miles than anybody else.
So we'll be looking at a date most likely in October to kick off, and then finale before Christmas break. Basically, we do it 8 weeks. So wonderful. Any other questions or concerns?
Yes, ma'am. I forgot to mention, I have some handouts with information about the new crisis hotline, 988. I don't know if anybody heard about it.
Yes.
But I have some information on that. I have business cards, so if anybody has any concerns or questions for me about your suicide prevention plan or what you want for it, I have them here, so just let me know.
Yes, we actually did publish the new 988 information on our website. And if you guys haven't had a chance to look at our health services website lately, please do. We've been working hard on it to get it updated and with the most current information we can gather, and if you have suggestions for any other info, just let me know, and we'll pass it on to the appropriate people. Would you like, as a group, I know, like Hope said, we are doing our first meeting a little bit earlier than usual. So now that we've kind of gotten that out of the way, I was thinking maybe if we could get in another two before Christmas break, we can do that, but maybe do one between Thanksgiving and Christmas break with maybe a holiday thing, just for us as a group. And then eventually I'd love for us to get together and have a portrait made for our website, if you don't mind, that we could even do it in here under our sign. But we are just so proud of our shack. Other districts call us about our shack success. Shacks are becoming a pretty huge deal, especially with Uvalde. And so you're going to be hearing more and more and more about school health advisory councils assisting schools with, you know, what the community wants. And don't forget, we are a representation of Kaufman County. And anytime, of course, the board has access to this information, but just like last year, Hope has presented this to the school board.
This is kind of curriculum, it's coming.
So
we had to start here, and then yes, it'll be September 12th.
We'll start here with many subjects, just like we did the same for the curriculum. So anytime you have any ideas, please share with us. We appreciate your input so much. So we'll try to get a fall themed meeting going. That sound good, everybody?
Okay.
Sounds good. And then that'll give us a little bit of time for that mental health component that we were speaking about, and gathering the data and reviewing our program, how much success we've had with it. Hazel's real big on analyzing their data and making it all nice and pretty and comfortable. So we'll do that slideshow, I'm sure. And for the first time ever, we did have, even for working with Texas Health Resources, which I have in the nursing department, Hazel personally sent a physician and worked with our nurses one-on-one about some health issues, and which we're just really, really happy about that relationship. So if there's no other items for our agenda, I say we adjourn early at 12:53 today.
Thank you.
And there's these up here if anybody wants to look through those. Yeah, and Emma definitely wants some new cards to share.
Yes. Oh, you're right. Welcome to this.